When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
It's Friday, May 13th, and you're tuned into the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, it's Freaky Friday, and it's about to get even weirder. Carl Willis is set to take over, slide over a seat, and manage tonight's series opener, and really through the weekend in Minnesota, as the Guardians coaching staff pretty much wiped out by COVID positive tests. Terry Francona and DeMarlo Hale are for sure tested positive, but a bunch of other coaches are also sidelined, including hitting coach Chris Valleca, assistant pitching coach Joe Torres, first base coach Sandy Alomar, third base coach Mike Sarbaugh, and hitting analyst Justin Tool. They're all away from the team right now. Sarbaugh would have been pretty much the obvious choice out of that group to manage in place of Francona, but he's you know, on the sidelines, and instead we get to see what Carl Willis has in mind.
Carl Willis is the first pitcher to manage at Cleveland since Walter Johnson in 1933 and 1935. He was a Hall of Famer, and they're both nicknamed the Big Train. So I don't know if there's some magic in there, a little it's weird, isn't it?
It could be. I think it's also kind of interesting. Carl Willis, as a player, as a pitcher, pitched from 1991 to 1995 in Minnesota. And he won a ring with the Minnesota Twins in 1991. He was 20-10. In 204 appearances with a 3.65 ERA for the Twins. In fact, I believe it was last year that he was back in Minnesota away from Cleveland during a game where he was being honored as part of that the 30th anniversary of that World Series championship.
Yeah, the 1991 World Series championship. Definitely. I remember talking to him about this. So this has got to be kind of special to him, but I'm wondering how nervous he is. I mean, this guy has been around the Cleveland organization forever. This is his second tour as a pitching coach. He was Eric Wedge pitching coach from 2003 to 2009. He coached in the minors. He was a pitching coach in the minors. You know, he's been all over, and you know, he knows pitching. Now we'll see what kind of feel he has for managing. And I'm sure today we're going to find out how they're going to fill out the rest of his coaching staff, Joe.
Yeah, Carl Willis definitely has the experience as a pitching coach. What, 5 Cy Young winners under him in Cleveland and in other cities. But as far as, like you said, the rest of the Major League pitching staff, or the rest of the Major League coaching staff, that remains to be seen. I know a possibility that one of the names mentioned was John McDonald. He's the field coordinator for the minor league development system. He could be up and in uniform, maybe filling out a role as a bench coach or a base coach. Other guys, you know, there are other front office people on the road trip with them, but we don't know if any of them were exposed or, you know, can't be out there in uniform. Eric Binder and Alex Eckelman among them. So, you know, those would be guys who could have a chance to do that. But yeah, the club is going to wait until this afternoon to announce any of those, you know, additions or who's going to be filling in or be in uniform for tonight's series opener.
Yeah, and there were some, you know, coaches that, you know, weren't named yesterday that were, I guess, you know, are tested negative. Victor Rodriguez, assistant hitting coach, Kyle Hudson, who we've seen, you know, coach third base and first base, you know, in the last couple of years when the need arose. A couple bullpen catchers, you know, they're still there. But I think, I don't know, if you have to be, I would think you'd have to be, I don't know, can a front office guy come out of the front office and put a uniform on and coach? I don't see
why not. John Hart did it. I mean,
he was manager. He was the acting manager.
Yeah, he put on a uniform and he got out there. So I don't see why it can't happen. I don't know if there are any rules against it. That might be a good question to ask Antonetti at some point this afternoon. So
it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, it sets up a really sort of, it's appropriate that it's Freaky Friday. It's just a really odd situation with the opening of the series in Minnesota. And we don't know what the timeline is for Tito and the rest of the coaches and how long they have to be in quarantine before they can get back with the club. I'm thinking it's somewhere in the range of at least 5 days if they test negative twice. And then, you know, up to after the 10th day, after their first positive, I think maybe they can get back with the club after that. But obviously their health and safety and comfort comes first. And once that's, under control, we'll see them back with the Guardians again.
Rocco Baldelli, the Twins manager, tested positive for COVID on May 5th. And he just returned yesterday to manage, to the dugout to manage the Twins against Houston. So that was like 5 to 6 days. So we're probably looking at the same time frame. Now, if you don't test, if you don't have two negative tests within 24 hours and show no symptoms, and then you have to be approved by the MLBPA health panel, you have to pass that kind of barrier. You're not able to come back.
Well, like I said, it's all about, making sure that guys like Tito, who weren't exactly, on the younger side of the coaching range, making sure that those guys take their time and get back when they're, physically able to. So we should be looking forward to that. The matchups actually, look pretty good right now for Cleveland. You've got Aaron Civale going against Sonny Gray and Shane Bieber. They haven't announced a starter for Minnesota against Shane Bieber on Saturday, and then Tristan McKenzie on Sunday against Joe Ryan. So we're looking forward to the Civale Sonny Gray matchup. Should be pretty good.
Yeah, and Gray, I think, is just off the injured list. He had some problems in April. So I don't know how much he's pitched, but the Guardians have a real, they've got a good track record against him. Joe Ryan, on the other hand, has kind of handled them last year, kind of came over in that trade from Tampa Bay and pitched very well against Cleveland in two starts.
Yeah. And particularly this is the Guardians lineup is, we saw in the Chicago series, they will go through stretches maybe early in the game where they're not scoring runs, but really they've not been out of a game lately. They've at least brought the tying or go ahead runs to the plate by the end of the game at some point. So there's always a chance with these guys. Over the last week and a half or so, they're proving that their ability to come back in games is right there.
Yeah, really a resilient team. And this is without Franmil Reyes really, contributing a whole lot. But that formula seems to be working that we've talked about, Joe. Top of the order gets on base and lets Josh Naylor and Jose Ramirez drive him in. They're really patient hitters. They're seeing a lot of pitches. They create opportunities and they've come through in those opportunities. They're hitting well with runners in scoring position. And in the clutch.
All right, Hoynesy. It's Friday. It's May 13th. It's Friday the 13th. Kind of a weird day. Let's jump in and see what some of the the subtexters, our subscribers on Subtext, have questions for us. They've submitted to Hey Hoynsie. We can jump in and take some of these for the this week. And again, if you haven't signed up for Subtext, today's a great day to do that. 216-298-4346 is the number if you want to send a text message to that, or go to cleveland.com/subtext and you can sign up for $3.99 a month and get texts directly from myself and Paul. And we will we'll see here in a second what you guys have to say. First question is from Jim Harris in Hilliard, Ohio. Jim wants to know, have any of the managers in the organization had any experience yet with robotic umpires? So we haven't really heard much about the robo umpires, at least not they are being experimented with in other double A divisions, that not like the one that the Rubber Ducks play in.
Yeah, I think and at AAA they were being used, but not not in Columbus's division against the teams they participate against. But I would think some of the managers in low A have seen it at work, and I bet a lot of the pitchers have seen it at work. A lot of the minor league pitchers that are coming up through the system.
Yeah, and I wouldn't put it past the organization to have somebody that they've sort of assigned to be their sort of liaison or guru for the pitching, the robo pitching, the automated ball strike system, to be the guy who knows it backwards, forwards, and inside out, so that when it does start to proliferate through the minor league systems and reach up to the major league systems, they're not behind the game there. I really wouldn't put it past Antonetti and Chernoff to not be proactive in that regard.
Yeah, Joe, they used it in spring training in the inter squad games.
Mm-hmm. All right. Here's a question from Allie Harris in Sagamore Hills. She wants to know, will Austin Hedges' batting average get any better? And,
let's hope so.
the law of averages says it probably will improve, but again, this is a position that that Terry Francona and the Guardians, they can live with Hedges, batting or just under 200, as long as he's handling the pitching staff, playing great defense like he does. And really, you look at every time we talk about Austin Hedges, Terry Francona mentions he is such a leader in that clubhouse that it does more than his batting average.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, Joe. And I think it's easier to take that batting average now that you see some players, at the top of the lineup, performing well. When everybody's struggling, he really, Hedges kind of sticks out. It's, a wasted at bat. But when you have five or six other guys that are swinging a bat well, you can live with that.
One of the things when Brian Shaw reached his 10 years in the major, 10 years of major league service, and the club had a meeting in Los Angeles. They closed the clubhouse and got together. They presented him with a bottle of scotch. It was Austin Hedges who, he's only been Brian Shaw's teammate for a season, but it was Austin Hedges who got up and made a speech and, sort of communicated the feelings of the entire team to Brian Shaw. So that tells you something about the leadership qualities that the guy has. It's not all just about batting averages and home runs and RBIs. He's a professional baseball player in every sense of the word, and I think they're comfortable with him right now.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, and you've got Maley behind him, and he's kind of basically the same kind of catcher. So like you said, Joe, the Cleveland and Francona put a lot of emphasis on the catcher, handling the pitching staff, controlling the running game, and anything they give them offensively is a plus.
All right. One more. This is actually about the ins and outs of the testing procedure. I think we went over this a little bit, but Jim in Independence asks, hey, Hoynsie, do the members of the Guardians coaching staff have to remain in Chicago until they test negative? What's the rule for when they can return? I believe they're already back home in Cleveland, right?
Yeah, now I don't know. I mean, I was reading something about Baldelli, and what he tested positive when the Twins were in Baltimore, playing in Baltimore. So he had to isolate in Baltimore for a while. Then he flew, took a medical flight with two other players back to Minnesota, and he isolated in a hotel in Minneapolis because he didn't want to go home because his wife, they have a young baby, so a young child. So he didn't want to risk the kid getting it. So I'm not sure. Maybe some of the coaching staff is still in Chicago. Who knows? This is something we'll have to find out. You know, we're talking to Chris Antonetti today, so hopefully we'll be able to find something out.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that Tito and members of the coaching staff took a bus home from Chicago to Cleveland after testing positive. So we'll have to find out for sure about that. I know you put the question out there earlier the other day about who you think would be the player manager that if those were still a thing, who would make the best player manager on the Guardians roster right now. I guess it would have to be on the active roster. What were the overwhelming results that you found out from the subtexters who thought a player manager would be good?
Yeah, you know, I just kind of broached the question. You know, if Carl Willis had tested positive, or you know, they ran out of choices, and who among the players would be your bet for your pick for a player manager? And the winner hands down was Brian Shaw, and Brian Shaw, then Austin Hedges was second, Jose Ramirez was third, you know, Bieber, Franmil. And a couple of, and Miles Straw, you know, received some votes, but it was interesting because, you know, I think a lot of clubs probably, you know, in their past have a history of player managers. The Guardians / Indians have had at least 10 in their history. Wow. You know, including, you know, the guys that led them to their last two World Series, Tris Speaker in 1920 and Lou Boudreau in 1948. They also have Hall of Famer Nap LaJoie and Frank Robinson as player managers. So, you know, Robbie was in the 70s. The last player manager was Pete Rose in 84 and 85, 84 to 86 with the Reds. So I think it's a big ask now. And there's so much, you know, I think the manager is pulled in so many different ways, you know, dealing with the roster, dealing with the media. It'd be a tough gig right now.
Yeah, you're not getting performance out of that player manager probably. If it is, it's somebody who's a veteran and a guy who's been around. You're not going to see him, you know, be a batting leader or a pitching leader if that's the case. But Mark in Norwalk says if Brian Shaw is the player manager, it looks like you'd have to implement a rule that says he's not allowed to pitch in every game because you know he put himself in.
That's a great point. He'd have to monitor himself.
Yeah, I don't know about using any, you know, starting pitcher in that role. I think that would be a really weird sort of tough situation to have a starting pitcher be in that role. And I don't think Jose Ramirez really fits what you're looking for there either. Not just the, you know, whatever language barrier there would be, which I think that could be overcome pretty easily. But, you know, he's more of like the lead by example kind of guy, not the lead by, you know, what he tells you to do. I think he'd be more effective as a coach, just pulling guys aside in the dugout and telling them, hey, this is what I see. And this is what you need to do. He could probably be a really good hitting coach, I would assume.
Yeah, I mean, unless, you know, he's one of those guys that just hits, you know, and can't break it down. But I think he would get his point across.
Well, no, Tito says if you watch him during the games when he's not hitting, he's sitting at the end of the bench watching and learning, and he's so smart and he knows everything, you know, about hitting. So, yeah, The role that Victor Reyes has on this club right now, that's a role that, you know, Jose Ramirez could fill easily in retirement. But thankfully we won't have to find out about that for another, 7 years. So
yeah, that's all. Yeah, definitely.
All right. That's gonna, we're going to start to wrap up here. Looking forward to the weekend. Obviously the series in Minnesota is big. Getting back to Cleveland, they have the Reds and then the Tigers next week. So, hopefully this the situation, look at it this way. If Carl Willis is still managing early next week, at least it's the Reds that are coming into town and not the the Yankees.
Yeah. And, Joe, I think, he could, I think he could manage for at least two series, this series and the Red series, depending just how quick Francona and the rest of the staff can come back.
All right. We'll wrap it up here and we'll talk to you again on Monday here on the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast.